Hola a todos. Soy Carly Goldenberg. And this is ¿Qué pasa Midwest?
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 Telling the stories of Latinos from the homeland to the heartland.
Lágrimas tras mis cortinas.
In este episodio, we hear from Dr. Asif Wilson and Rosemary Magaña sobre collective care, o el cuidado colectivo. A day before the U.S. declared a national emergency, and a week before Illinois' stay-at-home order began, Northwestern University's Multicultural Student Affairs hosted Dr. Asif Wilson for an event called You Good? ¿Estás bien? Wilson serves as Associate Dean of Instruction at Harold Washington College in Chicago. He has over a decade of teaching experience, and he focuses on the intersection of race, place, and pedagogy. Él empezó el diálogo con un check-in.
And I find that check-ins are not only a way for us to like build relationships, which for me are at the core of my pedagogy. Like if we not, you know, grounded in a like kind of compassion and love for one another, like what are we doing here?
Framing the discussion were questions like, what does human-centered collective care look like for people of color?
In the context of the world we live in, through the chaos, through the joy, through the imagination, like both in its conception, but also in its parameters. I always start with check-ins. And then furthermore, this concept of a circle is really important to me. It's in my DNA. It's like in some of my indigeneity. Before there were schools, there was certainly knowledge. And we exchanged knowledge as folks of color through the circle. You know, that was our primary like kind of tool of knowledge exchange, knowledge creation, and community. And so I invoke the circle here and the check-in here so we can build with each other even though we come from different places.
Wilson's views of collective care toma inspiración del Chicano playwright Luis Valdez's poetry and Dr. King's notion que somos conectados.
The concepts of collective care starts with this Mayan saying called In Lakesh, right? And there is this poem, and I'll read some of it to you. It starts, Tú eres mi otro yo, right? You are my other me.
En Lakesh, tú eres mi otro yo. You are my other me. Si te hago daño a ti, if I do harm to you, me hago daño a mí mismo. I do harm to myself. Si te amo y respeto, if I love and respect you, me amo y respeto yo. I love and respect myself.
And then I start to like connect that stuff to what King said in 63 in a letter from Birmingham jail. When he writes, you know, and I'm summarizing, he says, in the world, we are inextricably bound to each other. We are all connected to each other.
Though Wilson indicó que la trauma intergeneracional puede afectarnos, él insistió que conceptos como la alegría y la sabiduría también son prácticas transmitidas.
Epigenetics is the belief that trauma is passed down through the DNA. The pain of my ancestors lives in me. It's hardwired in me through an epigenomic marker in my DNA. The pain is stored in us, right? But the joy and the wisdom, and for the purpose of today, the inextricable boundedness to one another is hardwired in us. People are more than their pain. People are more than their past. They are legacies of survival and thrival and resistance and hella joy.
From collective care discussions to mental health and wellness, también hablamos con Rosemary Magaña. Magaña earned her master's in clinical counseling at the Chicago School of Professional Psychology. She is a licensed clinical professional counselor. She worked for Northwestern's Counseling and Psychological Services as a staff therapist and also served as the liaison to the Latinx community. She is the co-creator of Sana Sana, a wellness space for Latinx-identifying students on campus. She is the founder of Adelante Counseling and Wellness. Inspired by la rima tradicional, Sana Sana, that goes, Sana Sana, colita de rana, si no sanas hoy, sanarás mañana y ofrece un espacio de empoderamiento para establecer un sentido de comunidad for Latinx students.
I think Sana Sana was an idea I had from when I first interviewed for the position as the liaison to Latinx community at Northwestern University at Counseling and Psychological Services. During my interview, I said I'd eventually would like to put together a group where people with the Latinx community can build community and also relax and get to know each other and feel comfortable. But I really quickly realized how doing outreach and when you're first new, it's hard to get people to show up. So I took a couple of years and invested time in the community and getting to know everyone before we started actually doing it. But the way it actually came about when it started was because students kind of asked for it. I think I was talking about it at some point and a couple of students were like, that would be awesome. We would go. And to be honest, I was like, no, you won't. Like, no one's going to go. Y'all have so many different programs and groups. Like, no one's going to go just to color and hang out. And two to three different students were like, no, we'll go. If you put it together, we'll go. Luckily, at the time, we had a postdoc at CAPS at Northwestern who was also Latina, and I was able to have someone who could start it up with me. I think if I didn't have her, I wouldn't have been able to start it. So with her partnership and support, we were able to begin the group. So that's kind of how it started.
For Latino students on a predominantly white campus, the group offers a space for vulnerability and understanding that strictly structured events don't offer.
First, that it's a community for Latinx identified students, but I think we don't have a huge structure, and I think we are used to having workshops and other spaces that are very structured. Like, this is the goal for today. We're going to do A, B, and C, and we're going to learn A, B, and C skill. Basically, Sana Sana is very rooted in kind of a Latino culture of we all kind of gather around food and we coexist with each other. We connect with each other. The only structure we have now is we sit in a circle most of the time.
Just a reminder that we had this conversation before COVID-19 was affecting Chicagoland on a wide scale. So it's safe to say that the circles that the group met in before could look different moving forward. The Que Pasa Midwest team had to make changes too, like producing the season remotely. And queremos decir gracias to Toyota Motor Manufacturing Indiana Incorporated for support in making this season possible.
It doesn't necessarily mean that we all have to speak to each other during that time in the circle. It's not one big conversation all the time. It's like little ones. And that we do a check-in where everyone kind of shares their name, what year they are, whether or not it's their first time there. And if it's their first time there, we all cheer really loud just to build community. And people, I hope, get to feel a disconnect from the academic pressure and also from like the club and group pressure of being on executive boards and things like that, where they can just eat, color, hang out, and share stories about home and about their family or about who they are and not feel they have to be a certain way.
Conversations within Sana Sana reflect the nationwide concerns and trauma surrounding the impact of the upcoming election for Latinos, people of color, and LGBTQIA+ folks.
I have noticed that when it started coming up more before everything happened with the pandemic, it was coming up in Sana Sana more. And there's almost like this level of almost PTSD with the election, considering when Trump was elected last time, where people feel very anxious and scared and worried that he's going to be elected again because there is such a huge impact on the Latinx community and other POC or LGBTQ communities, and also how it's increased racist acts and harm and hateful acts towards immigrants. So I do want to mention that the election is a huge impact on the mental health of Latinos, just the fact that there is election, because I think that people are very worried and scared. So there's a real emotional reaction to that.
En términos de conversaciones sobre el sistema médico, Magaña destacó que es necesario dejar atrás conversaciones simples del estigma. We need conversaciones matizadas about culturally competent care and systemic factors that affect Latinos' access to that care.
I think with healthcare topics, I think Latinos just need more support and resources, period, on all healthcare topics and the lens in which we use to talk about those healthcare topics. What I mean is sometimes we tend to have this language of blaming the community and their culture sometimes for some of their illnesses or the prevalence of diabetes or hypertension. And then we're like, oh, it's because of the food they eat, da-da-da-da-da. And we don't look at the overall systemic impact that the environment where most of this population lives and what do they have access to. So I would like more investment and conversation on looking at healthcare issues in a more systemic environmental lens and how access to resources also affects people's health. Whether from mental health, you hear a lot that the reason why Latinos don't pursue mental health is because of stigma, or POC don't go because of stigma. And there's research that shows that that's not the reason. The reason is because of lack of resources and access to resources and not having culturally competent clinicians or mental health providers and not knowing how to find them, not having money to pay for them because there's not that many free ones, and then not having clinicians who are trained and educated to support those communities. And those are more so the setbacks. So I think it's just, that's a big thing that I really want to push forward is we really need to rethink how we talk about these issues and the challenges that we continuously have convinced ourselves or that people have tried to convince us that those are the reasons. Even with working at Northwestern when I was and supporting first gen low income students or POC students, this idea that these students need more resources, it's because they're behind and blah, blah, blah. And no, that is not the problem. The problem is the university is the problem. The institution that was not built to support these students, staff and faculty who do not know how to teach to people who do not have these privileges. And if we retrain and support staff and faculty to learn how to be more equitable in the services that they're providing, then and inclusive of all kinds of identities, and there isn't an issue for any students, opposed to let's blame these people, they need more, or they're eating the wrong foods, or they're not educated enough, or they like. So I think that's a big conversation I like to push for all of these topics, whether it's mental health or healthcare, is getting out of that niche of blaming the person.
Maganya highlighted the emotional impact that coverage about how coronavirus disproportionately affects communities of color can have. Instead of highlighting deficits, Maganya says that we need to shift away and empower community members.
Students I work with or clients I work with, I mean, my entire client load is POC, mostly Latino, but also Black students and Black clients. There's a lot of sadness and disappointment and just like the constant news of how it's disproportionately hurting their communities and how heavy that is and how sad that is. And even though we were all aware of it, it's just, it hurts and hurts and it hurts, and knowing that it's going to get like economically worse. And there's like that extra layer that gets added on. You know, when it comes to the Latino community or POC community, like, you know, there's this, like, again, it's that narrative, like, these communities are really strong, really resilient, and we need to talk about resilient, like, not resiliency, but just strengths, and opposed to a deficit model.
Maganya dijo que debemos cambiar la historia. Mientras las historias típicas tienen un modelo deficitario, debemos enfocarnos en las fortalezas de nuestras comunidades.
And just reminding the community and reminding ourselves that we do have the strength to make change, to run for office, to vote, and things like that, because so much of the environmental factors try to convince us that we don't.
Our song for this episode is La Casa No Existe by Alejandro y María Laura. Gracias por escucharnos. I'm Carly Goldenberg, and this is ¿Qué pasa Midwest?
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 Telling the stories of Latinos from the homeland to the heartland.